This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War. Hi, welcome to The Invisible War. I'm Kevin Harris, and this is a weekly radio broadcast dealing with spiritual warfare. And it's taken from the book, The Invisible War, Living in Victory Over the Enemy, published by 21st Century Press, written by our host and teacher, Dr. Rob Randall. You can get your copy of this most important Bible study by going to our website, theinvisiblewar.org. You can get informed on spiritual warfare, a biblically balanced study on this topic. You can also order your copy of The Invisible War at your local Christian bookstore. Now, if you've missed any of Dr. Randall's teaching, you'll want to go to theinvisiblewar.org and click on the broadcast button, and there you can download any and all of the programs of The Invisible War for free. Dr. Randall, we just flat ran out of time last time, and so we're going to pick it up. Why don't you bring us up to speed, what we've been talking about in this recent series?
Of course, we're in Chapter 6. This is the nuts and bolts. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is how to engage in the battles with the forces of darkness. Many of the books today will, of course, devotionalize, but I wanted to make sure people had tools that they could get their hands on, that they could know and how to be used of God to see this cleansing come in their lives and the lives of their friends and family and the lives of many churches. So we have compiled together many things in Chapter 6 that I feel like will be of great help to many. And so I want folks to know, as we have talked in the last programs, that deliverance, don't be scared of the word deliverance. It's a good Bible term. Just think of it as sanctification. It is the process by which Christ is continually making us like Him. So everything that would hinder our walk with Christ needs to be removed. All of the besetting sins we are to lay aside. And remember, sin is the highway demons travel. So if we're going to get rid of these spirits, we have to lay aside these besetting, these sins that so easily separate us from the will and purposes of God in our lives. And deliverance is necessary when there's simply a life that has no peace. There's torment. There is a lack of rest, spiritual rest. There is a war that's going on. How do I know when someone needs a time of cleansing? How do I know that I need a time of cleansing and deliverance in my life? It is when there is no peace. There's a continual war going inside of me between that which is holy, because I'm to be like Jesus. We are to be holy as He is holy. And anything that comes into my heart and life that is not holy, anything that I cooperate with through my own sin, then that thing goes to war with the Holy Spirit of God in my life. How can we know when an evil spirit is present in our lives? Again, it is a matter of a life full of torment instead of the peace of God. It is a life of confusion and frustration instead of a life of the eternal purposes and calling of heaven. Instead of a willful desire of doing God's will, there is always confusion and frustration. Instead of a life filled with the love and forgiveness of God, there is condemnation and judgment and a continual critical spirit, not just criticizing others, but also criticizing ourselves. Instead of a life producing the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5:22, there is this fruit of unrighteousness listed in Galatians 5:19 through 21. And so there comes a time in all of our lives on, I believe, a regular basis where we need a tune-up, where we need a time of cleansing, where we need this time of the refiner's fire, burning out the dross, burning out the stuff that is not of God, so that our worship, our gifts to Him, when we give our gifts to Him, they will be given to Him in righteousness, our worship, our very lives. And so there are many ways of deliverance. There's not just one way we've talked about. There are many kinds of methods. But the scriptural principles of deliverance are always the same. And we'll get into that today in the program. And of course, we talked about the prayer that God answers. What kind of prayer does God answer?
Dr. Randall, on our last program, I asked you if just anyone should be involved in deliverance and whether these serious spiritual matters should be left to experts. And you said, no, the scriptures don't relegate it necessarily just to professionals. And you made a point of saying that man doesn't do the delivering anyway.
I would always caution any of us to remember that it is the Lord Jesus who is our deliverer. He is our Savior. It is His power. It is His authority. He has delegated it to us, yes, but it's still in Christ that we see the freedom of Christ come into our lives. I believe and say oftentimes that even a child who knows the Lord, who has faith to believe what God's Word has said, that child's faith is enough to see the power of God for healing and cleansing in anybody's life. Even the prayer of a child has the power to set somebody free. I believe that with all of my heart.
Okay, but if somebody doesn't know what they're doing, is it possible for them to get hurt in confronting the powers of darkness?
May I say that the ministry of deliverance is not for the curious. One could get hurt in these spiritual battles. However, let me hasten to say, to ignore the battle that we are in against these evil spirits is to ensure defeat and destruction. The believer should never shy away from believing what God's Word says about his certain victory in Christ. Kevin, the Bible gives clear prerequisites for engaging the enemy in deliverance. The first one that I see is in John 10, verse 27 through 30. A firm assurance of your own eternal salvation in Christ. You know, if you're not sure you're saved, you don't need to mess with this. I will say that gladly, because it is the Lord who delivers. It is in our relationship in Christ that we are able to see the power of God. And so if you're not sure you're saved, if you're not sure you are in Christ, you don't need to be messing with deliverance. Secondly, you need to have faith in God to move mountains. Now, that's a phrase that we've heard all of our lives. It says if you have the faith of a mustard seed, and many of us have seen that around the chain, the little mustard seed, little bitty thing. Jesus said if you have faith in God to move mountains. Now, what's he talking about? You can say to that mountain, be removed, and it'll be removed. He's talking about demons. Go to the context of that mustard seed and that mountain to be removed. He's talking about deliverance. He's talking about casting out spirits, evil spirits, and the cleansing of God. So this whole idea of a mustard seed and moving mountains, let's don't take it out of context. Let's see it in the context by which it was given. So you need, I need, if we're going to confront the powers of darkness, we need that faith in God and what God has said. We need to trust Him that He is able even to move a mountain if necessary. He has that kind of power. Thirdly, we need a good knowledge of the Word of God. It is the Word of God that's the sword of the Spirit. It is the two-edged sword. Now, you don't have to have the Scriptures memorized to pray against the powers of darkness. You don't have to know everything there is to know in the Scriptures. We're always learning things, but we need a good understanding of the basic fundamental truths of Scripture, that Jesus is Lord, that the Word of God is true, that His power is greater than all power, and that anything we need, He can give us. We need to understand that God's Word is true, and we need to have a good understanding, a good knowledge of the Word of God before we ever engage the powers of darkness. And number four, we need to have a recognition that Satan has already been defeated by Christ. It's not a matter that he will be defeated. He is defeated. He knows he's defeated. The book of Jude tells us that there are chains reserved for these evil spirits, for the angels that left their first estate. The judgment of God has already fallen upon them. No matter how they may want to tell you they don't have to go, listen to me, in Jesus' name, they have to obey. They have to. They may not like it. They may be angry about it. But the fact is, their defeat is certain in Christ. If you're not sure of that, you don't need to be messing with this. But if you are certain that the Word of God is true and that these evil spirits are already defeated, God can use you mightily in this confrontation with the powers of darkness. And fifthly, there needs to be a humble dependence on and trust in God. Pride always brings defeat. I want to say that again. Pride always brings defeat. I've had many come to me who need to be set free. And when they come, there are those who know that they need to be free. They know there's a war going on in their lives and in their heart. They know they need deliverance. But there's arrogance. There's pride. And Kevin, I want you to know, whenever there's humility and brokenness, the Holy Spirit of God walks into the room and does what needs to be done, what we could never do. He is more than able to do beyond what we ask Him to do. The healing, the cleansing. But if there is any ounce of pride, the Holy Spirit will walk into the room, but there will be no work of Almighty God. No matter how desperate the need is, it will not come. We must have a humble heart, a humble dependence on and trust in our God if we are ever to confront the powers of darkness.
Dr. Randall, are you willing to pray for anyone who needs cleansing from evil spirits in their lives?
Of course, Kevin. I'm willing to pray for anyone who needs help. However, I've learned that unless the person is willing to commit their life to Christ, deliverance is simply not possible. Let me explain. In Matthew 12, verse 43 and 45, we find these words from our Savior about this battle with what He called the unclean spirits. Now, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. That is the way it will be also with this evil generation. Deliverance is not just looking for evil spirits so we can cast them out. Deliverance is a work of the power of the Holy Spirit of God as He comes to cleanse us. And that cleansing always results in the work of God through us to the glory of God so that others might see and believe Christ. I want to say that again. God does everything He does for His glory, not just so that we won't be tormented anymore. It is for His glory. Yes, the tormentors will leave. But it is for His glory. God does everything He does for His glory and His purposes in our lives. Yes, you can cast a demon out of somebody. But if they're not willing to submit their lives to Christ, they'll come back and bring seven times worse. And all you've done is made the state of that person worse than they were before. So we want nothing to do with that. There are two essential preliminary questions that I ask before I will engage the enemy in a person's life. Number one, do you know Christ as your Savior? Has there ever been a time when you have trusted Him to save you from your sins? I don't want just a yes or no. I also ask, tell me about it. I want the person to give clear indication, a clear confession of the time when they gave their heart and life to Christ. The second question that I ask always before I engage the enemy is this. If Christ comes to deliver you from the things that have you bound, the things that are tormenting you, are you willing to serve Him the rest of your life? If the Lord Jesus only gives you one more week on the earth, will you serve Him with all your heart? Now, Kevin, if there's any hesitation at all to that question, I will pray for the person, but I will not engage the enemy.
Well, Dr. Randall, you really have some specific things here, and I want to know if the Bible lays out some specific principles of deliverance in confronting the evil spirits of darkness.
It does. I want everyone to remember as we study God's Word together that Christ and Christ alone is our deliverance minister. All we do is work together cooperating with Him. We are to stand in His strength and in His might as we face the powers of darkness. We are to rely on the armor that has been provided for us in Christ. Remember, the armor is Jesus. He is righteousness. He is faith. He is our salvation. He is truth. It is in Him that we are able and only able to confront the powers of darkness in victory. Get a pad and a pen. I want us to walk through now these wonderful, eternal principles that never change no matter what method is used. Here are the principles that the Word of God sets forth for someone to be set free. The first one is, it's a discovery time. Discover through discernment the work or ground of the devil. Recognize the work of the devil. Remember, those who practice unrighteousness are not of God. We see that in 1 John 3:10. So if there's unrighteousness that you can't seem to get rid of in your life, a bad habit, a continual, habitual sin that has you bound, discover, recognize the work of the enemy. He came to destroy. He came to steal. He came to kill. So if there's anything in anyone's life that is stealing, killing, and destroying, recognize it. Discover the fact that the enemy is at work. Remember, wherever there's a rotten fruit, there's a rotten root. Secondly, denounce the work of the devil. Renounce it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2. Renounce it. Repent, turn from sin, and turn to God for forgiveness. Acts 8:22 through 23. Repent of it, turn from it. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4, verse 7. And replace the lies of the enemy with the truth of God's Word. John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Remember, every stronghold, every foundation of every stronghold is a lie of the enemy that we have believed. Replace that lie of the enemy with the truth of God's Word. Declare out loud your commitment to Christ. Romans 8:35 through 39. Declare it out loud. Why? Demons can't read our minds. We say it out loud. Declare it. Declare your position in Christ. You're not a victim. You're a victor. Colossians 2:15 and Ephesians 6. Declare your position of victory in Christ. Declare your posture of victory. Humble yourselves before God. Reckon yourselves dead to sin. Romans 6, verse 11. Our posture, if we are to be free, is a posture of humility and brokenness. Proclaim your victory. Declare it out loud. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Declare it out loud. Proclaim your victory. Declare it out loud. And then deliver through disposing the enemy. Luke 8:26 through 33, there is a clear example of how Jesus delivered through disposing, expelling the evil ones. Reclaim for Christ the area stolen by the enemy in Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Reclaim it. Refill the empty area with the Holy Spirit. Luke 11, 22 through 26. I always ask the person at the end of the disposing time, the time that the area is cleansed, I always tell the person, now ask the Lord to fill you with the Spirit. The place that has been vacated now needs to be opened up to the work and the Spirit of Almighty God. Refill the empty area with the Holy Spirit of God. Renew the mind through the Word of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Philippians 4, 8, and 2 Corinthians 10, 5. Get into the Word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Renew the mind through the Word of God. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And then rejoice with all of heaven in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 15:7-10-32. When one sinner repents, all of the angels, all of them, not some of them, all of them rejoice in heaven. There's a great rejoicing. Rejoice with heaven. I want to ask you, have you ever rejoiced with the angels of heaven? It's a neat, neat thing to do. It's awesome to think that we can rejoice with the very work of God. When someone is set free, when someone turns from their sin and turns to Christ, there is a rejoicing in heaven. Join in it. Worship Him. Praise Him. Thank Him for His mighty power. Wow.
You know, Dr. Randall, the Word of God is clear concerning the spiritual battles we face with the powers of darkness.
It really is, Kevin. You've heard me say many times on this program, let me say it again, the great tragedy of the invisible war is that there's no more need for any more tragedies in this battle with the forces of darkness. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Dear friend, trust Christ today. Let Him heal your wounds and sorrows. Let Him take your disappointments and pain upon Himself. Give them to Christ. Let Him set you free today. Whatever you have done or whatever has been done to you, Jesus' blood is enough. No more blood needs to be shed. Jesus' blood is able to cleanse from all sin. Take that thing to Calvary right now. Don't hesitate. Do it now. You've carried the load meant for Jesus. You've carried it way too long. Give it to Him right now.
Dr. Randall, we've come to the end of our time today, and so many of us listening right now need to be set free. We need this freedom in Christ. Would you take just a minute and pray for us that we'd have the desire and the strength of the Lord to ask Him today to set us free?
What a joy and privilege is mine to join my heart with your heart and with the heart of our Heavenly Father, to see that which He came and bought for you with His blood. I want you to receive it right now. Right where you are, make an altar. Just draw near to the Lord right now and receive. Ask the Lord to give you. Tell Him you're ready to receive His work. Words are not magic. God knows our hearts. But repeat this after me. Just pray with me. Would you do it right now? I can't do it for you, but I can do it with you. Just pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. That's right. Pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that You love me because You died for me. I ask You to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I receive You as my Savior and my Lord. Now, those of us who have been saved, those of us who have been in torment for some time, I want you to gladly and willingly ask the Lord to help you now. To give that thing that has so tormented you, ask the Lord to help you give it to Him right now. Just pray, Lord Jesus, I give You my hurt, my sorrow, my bitterness, whatever it is. Say it out loud. Lord, I give it to You. This habit, this addiction, whatever it is, tell Him, Lord, I give it to You. I can't carry it anymore. It's Yours. Forgive me for thinking I could handle this on my own. I give You my life. Help me live for You. Lord, come and cleanse me. Make me like Jesus. I choose to stop running from the will and purposes of God in my life. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for Your mighty work. I receive it in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen and amen. Now, if you prayed with me today, I'd like to hear from you. I know these are private matters, but if we can serve you in any kind of way, let me know how I can serve you. If you need further prayer, give me a call, toll free, 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. Or email me. Go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's all you need to reach us. Just email me. There's a place where you can contact us there. Let me know how we can serve you. We do rejoice with all of heaven today, with all that the Lord is doing in your life. thank you for allowing us to spend this precious time around the things of heaven with you. We look forward to next week as we continue to study the eternal things of our almighty, wonderful God, who loves us more than anyone could ever love us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for your help. Thank you for enabling us to bring this message to you and to others in the invisible world.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcasts, information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.